Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee. I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And wow, what an amazing series Love Songs has been. I don't know about you, but my heart and honestly, my marriage has just been impacted from just going through this book of the Bible, Song of Solomon. I hope whether you're married or not married, that this has been just super helpful and impactful for you. Thinking about either your marriage or your potential marriage, or just how you can help help enrich the marriages here at LifePoint. What I thought I'd do today, just because this is the last kind of podcast and for this series, I just thought I'd take a moment and just recap just some of the things we've talked about each week, especially at the Plain City campus. And this series, each week, we really wanted to emphasize how human love is an imperfect reflection of God's greater love. That human love is one of the most powerful tangible things that we can see and experience, and yet it is merely a reflection. And the deepest and most intimate human love that can be experienced is in the context of marriage. So whether you're married or not, human love as you see it is meant to point to God's greater love. That what we see in marriage is God's love for his people. And so it's just been so exciting to walk through this. And so let me just look at each week for a moment as we just look back over the last several weeks. Week one, we talked about shaping attraction, how God's design for love shapes what we find beautiful. That rather than looking to the world, looking to our desires to see what's beautiful, we look to God's design. And what culture tells us is, man, run after chemistry, run after the sparks, run after where the fire is. But God tells us to pursue character, that while chemistry is awesome, character is what lasts. Character matters way more than appearance, because you and I know this, our appearances, our chemistry, man, it fades. Like, it doesn't always last, but character, man, that always ages well. And one of the things that I talked about that week was how chemistry can start the fire, but it's character that keeps it burning. When you think about a bonfire, right? Chemistry may get it going, but to keep it moving, to keep it running, to keep it burning, well, you need something much better, and that's character. The second week, we talked about how to cultivate love. That love that lasts is cultivated. It's not just consumed. We live in a consumer culture. Take and get whatever you can. And rather, when it comes to marriage, if you have a consumer mindset, it's going to destroy your marriage. Healthy marriages, they don't happen accidentally. They require cultivation, intentional communication, intentional pursuit, intentional protection. That healthy love is grown. We just don't stumble into it. And then we talked about the next week, how we don't want to awaken love until it's desire, until it's time. Do not awaken love or desire until it so it desires and is ready. And that's really, we want to put up guards and protect our hearts and protect our relationships so that we're not preparing our bodies, our emotions, our physical connection with people before there is a commitment behind that, before we talk about the commitment of marriage. And the next week, that's really where we went. What is the point of marriage? And it's to point us to Jesus. The marriage isn't just about making us happy. Now, marriage, there can be a lot of happiness in marriage, right? There are a lot of wonderful and amazing things, but it's not always happy. And that's the point, because God didn't make it to make you and I happy. Rather, he made it to make us holy. That God's marriage was, it was his idea. It's about a covenant and not just a contract. And our spouse is really a gift from God. It was never meant to be a substitute for God. And when we begin to expect our spouse to do and be what only Jesus can do, man, we're putting impossible expectations on our marriage. And then we talked about, after the wedding, the gift of intimacy. How, man, the sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife is an incredible gift. But the gift of intimacy is not the gift of itself. It's what it points to. And it's the union between a man and a woman. A husband and a wife becoming one, pointing to this reality that intimacy is so much more than just physical, that there's a spiritual component to it. That before Solomon ever touched his bride, man, he spoke to her. He pursued her, delighted in her. And so we want our spouses to know that we love them, that they feel loved by us, and that really we want to be united with them. And then right after that, we looked at how there can be conflict in marriage, right? And that often shows up right after the honeymoon, that you want to begin to fight for your marriage, because healthy marriages learn to fight for each other instead of with each other. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to fight with your spouse. It is inevitable. Conflict is going to show up. But the healthy marriages, the ones that last, they learn how to fight well. They learn how to not just to let conflict divide them, but rather to let conflict unite them, to learn how to fight for one another and for their marriage and for their spouse, not just with them. And you see, selfishness creates distance in our relationships, and repentance is what begins to turn us around and change direction, but it's ultimately reconciliation that restores those relationships. And so healthy marriages, they aren't made up of perfect people, right? But they're made up of people who want to repent quickly and forgive freely. And then we looked at how the best marriages, right? The best of marriages form the best of friends. That one of the greatest threats to our marriages, it's not catastrophic events that happen, right? It's not the affairs that happen all of a sudden. It's not, it's not the divorces that come out of nowhere, but rather it's drift. It's two people slowly stop noticing each other, pursuing each other, enjoying one another. You see, what strong marriages do, they form friendship with each other. They keep admiring, they keep pursuing, they keep getting away together, because you can grow old in your marriage, or you can grow old in love in your marriage. And then this last week, Justin at the Plain City campus really helped us to really see the beautiful thing of leaving a legacy in our marriages, that it's about a lifetime. It's about not just having great moments, but having a legacy of love that blesses not just the husband and the wife, but it blesses their family. It blesses their friends. It blesses the church and everyone that sees it. Because here's what's the beautiful thing about marriage. Faithful marriages become a living picture of Christ's faithful love for his people, that we cannot endure and last if we are not first of all fully committed to Christ. And so a couple of things just to reflect on from this series that I know I'm going to and would invite you to do so as well. What is maybe one habit that you can begin to start in your marriage? If you're married, right? What's something that you can do together? You need to pray more together, encourage. You need to plan regular date nights, putting the phone down, looking eyeball to eyeball with your spouse. What are some small habits you can have? If you're not married, right? What are some habits you can begin to cultivate in your own life that either help prepare you for marriage, or habits that you can put in that really help strengthen the marriages around you? The second thing you can look at is what little foxes need to go. Is there something slowly creating distance in your life and in your relationships? Are you too busy? Are you bitter? Are you too caught up in the screen time? Is there just some small things eating away that you need to begin to get rid of in your own life and in your marriage before it becomes a bigger problem? And then lastly, just a question to ask is, how can your relationships point people to Jesus? Whether you're married, single, dating, widowed, divorced, God's invitation to you and me is the same, that we're to receive his love, reflect his love, and point others to Jesus, because that's really what the Song of Solomon is all about. Thanks for being with me today. Thanks for spending this time throughout this series cultivating your relationships. And I pray that the Lord would continue to do an amazing work in and through you for his glory. So let me pray, and then why don't you take a moment and do the same. Jesus, thank you so much for your love. Thanks for the way you pursue us, the way you forgive us, God, the way that you continue to cultivate, Lord, a vibrant relationship with us. You have done everything, Lord, for us. And Lord, may we in return, not as a way to earn your love, not as a way to prove our love to you, but God, as a way to merely show and live out the reality that we are loved by you, that we are your beloved, that we are to be loved, that intimacy is into me, I see, that you see us, God, for who we are. We are fully known and fully loved by you. And may that change us, change our relationships, change our marriages, and God, help do the same for others. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment? Why don't you pray?